How many of you guys like handouts? How many of you guys like to take notes? Raise your hand. All righty, very good. So we have some handouts. And while they're passing those out, if you want to turn with me real quick in your Bibles to Matthew chapter 5. And just remember, don't hurt each other with those lightsabers now. And just a real quick thing, also, Liz made a bunch of Star Wars cookies, and so when you leave, make sure that you grab some back there. She took hours and hours decorating them and cooking them, and so make sure that you take some cookies on your way out. So Matthew chapter 5, verse 14 and 15 is where we're going to be at today. It says this. It says, "You are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hidden. Nor do they light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a lampstand, and it gives light to all who are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven." I'm just going to read that one more time. It says, "You are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hidden. Nor do they light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a lampstand, and it gives light to all who are in the house." Can you guys say, "In the house"? In the house. "All who are in the house, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven." Dear Heavenly Father, we just come before you today, and we just pray that your word will speak to us and illuminate our hearts. God, we pray that, man, maybe some of us came in this morning with some walls that have been built up, and I just pray that those walls will be knocked down. Maybe some of us came in this morning and our hearts are hardened. God, we just pray that you'll take our hardened hearts and soften them. I pray that our hearts of stone will be turned into hearts of flesh, Father. I pray that that your spirit will speak to us and that your spirit will move in us, God, as we delve into your word and as we have a little bit of fun on this May the 4th, Star Wars Sunday. Amen. So real quick, who got the red lightsaber? Oh my goodness. Who else got the red saber? We got one back there. We got one back here. The red saber. I don't want to hit anybody, preferably. The red saber. All right, so we know we have two enemies in our midst, guys, and so, just kidding. So, man, almost 26 years ago, I was living in Rochester, Minnesota. I was a junior in high school. I'm aging myself here today, guys. And I had some friends that were extreme Star Wars fans. Do we have any other Star Wars fans here today? A couple of you guys. They were extreme. They knew all the trivia. They'd watched the movies. They invited me to a Star Wars marathon, and that's when there was just three of them, and they watched all three of them in one day, and I tried to keep up with them, and I could not. I'm like, oh my goodness. I was more of a Star Trek guy. Any Star Trek people here? Oh boy, a couple people. Okay, very good. And so they told me, they're like, "Hey, Evan, listen, there's supposed to be a new Star Wars movie coming out." And they're like, "It's going to be awesome." And I'm like, oh my goodness, I'm super excited. And so I was like, "Yay," and they're like, "Yay," and "Yay, yay, yay." And so they said, listen, it was Alan and Aaron. They said, in order for us to get the tickets, because we're anticipating that the tickets are going to get sold out quickly, we have to show up 2 days before to purchase the tickets. And so I'm like, okay. And so this was before you could buy your tickets online, and this was before the assigned seating at the theaters, and this was back in the day when the seats weren't all leather reclining chairs; they were just the simple chairs. And so we went 2 days before, and we got the tickets. We waited in line for several hours, got the tickets, and then we turned around after that, and we waited. I think we got the tickets at 8 o'clock the day before, and then we waited. We spent the night. We were like out on the curb talking to all these Star Wars fanatics, and then the showing was midnight, so we stayed out all the way, and then the showing at midnight, and we were amped. We were running around, and there was a local pizza place that There's this huge line of people that brought us pizza, and it was, I still remember that. And then we got into the theater, and it was first come, first serve, and I remember we bum-rushed the theater. We were knocking people over to get to the best seats in the house, and then we saw Phantom Menace, and I was a little disappointed. we were introduced to Qui-Gon Jinn and Jar Jar Binks and Darth Maul and all of those things, and it was interesting to me, just the whole story about Anakin Skywalker and being the chosen one and wondering how this little kid in this movie was going to turn into Darth Vader. And I was just looking up some information, and I found that Star Wars, since its inception, has generated over $46 billion of revenue. $46 billion. And really, from the beginning, it's been a story of good versus evil, of the light side of the Jedi and the dark side, of the dark side of the Force, which were the Sith. And so it's kind of a conflict between, again, between good and evil, between dark and light. And I don't know if you guys realize this, but can you guys take out your lightsabers real quick? All right. Perfect. I don't know if you guys realize this, but lightsabers actually have, you guys can keep them out if you want to, but they have different colors, have different purposes. So the blue saber is supposed to stand for justice and bravery. Obi-Wan Kenobi has a blue lightsaber. A green lightsaber stands for growth and harmony. That's Luke Skywalker and Yoda. Purple lightsaber stands for nobility. Mace Windu. A yellow lightsaber stands for balance and strength. And then a red saber. Where's my red saber people again? Take out your red sabers. Perfect. Yes. Stands for. you're making me cough. Stands for anger and rage. Can you guys wave your angry and yes? So fitting, Katie. So fitting for you. Anger and rage. And just like a lightsaber is significant to the Jedi, our light is significant as Christians. There's the transition right there, okay? Just like the lightsaber is significant to the Jedi. All right, Jedi and Sith, take out your lightsabers. One more time. Yes. No, not hard. Very, very soft. Yes. Just like it's significant to the Jedi, light is significant to us as Christians as well. Again, in Matthew chapter 5, it says, "You are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hidden. Nor do they light a lamp and put it under a basket, but they put it on a lampstand, and it gives light to all who are in the house." Can you guys say, in the house? Are you guys in the house this morning? Yeah. Yeah, amen. You're in the house. "Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven." If you're taking notes, you have a piece of paper in front of you, write this down. The very first note is, your light has a source. Can you guys say that? Your light has a source. One more time. Your light has a source. Yeah, your light has a source. Did you know that your light has a source this morning? Did you know that? Did you know that your light has a source this morning? Now, I didn't realize this, but I did a little bit of research before the message, and I found out that with, I'm like, how do they even come up with these lightsabers in the movies, and like, what's the purpose of it, and what's the storyline? And so I did some digging, and I found out that the way that it works is there's something called a kyber crystal that the young Jedis go out and find on some planet, and they put it in the hilt of the lightsaber, and then that saber be like the kyber crystal is the source of the lightsaber. And I was like, wow, I feel like I'm really nerding out right now. I'm like, wow, that's kind of interesting. I never knew that before. And so for a Jedi or a Sith, where am I, Sith again? Raise your Sith swords one more time. Dirty Sith. The kyber crystal is the source, but did you know this morning that your light has a source? That your light has a source. And your source is not a a kyber crystal. Your source is not a battery. Your source is not some sort of electronic grid somewhere. Your source isn't sourced by some monetary thing or by a relationship. And the interesting thing, too, is we're not called to manufacture our own light. Did you know that this morning? But your light has a source. And it's interesting because actually, if you go all the way back to the beginning of the Bible and the beginning of Genesis, take a look at this in Genesis chapter 1. Again, remember that your light has a source. It says, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And the earth was without form and void, and darkness was on the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God hovered over the face of the waters. Now imagine with me for a minute. Let's read that one more time. Now the earth was formless and void, and the darkness was on the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God hovered over the face of the waters. Can you try to picture that with me for a moment? I mean, think about God creating things, but in the beginning, at the very beginning of time, earth was without form, and it was a void, and there was darkness, and there was waters, and God's Spirit was hovering over these things. It seems strange. It almost seems, in some weird ways, uncomprehendable. When you just think about no light, just darkness, just void, formless. Nothing was there in the beginning. It was just stuff. And the Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the waters. Can you kind of picture that with me? It's kind of interesting. But then in the next verse, it says this. And then God said, let there be light. Can you guys say, let there be light? Yeah, God said, let there be light. And there was light. And God saw the light. And he saw that it was good. And he divided the light from the darkness. So in the beginning, everything was formless and void and dark, and the Spirit was hovering over the face of the waters, and nothing was there. It was voidless, and it was just God's presence kind of moving across these things. And in the beginning, God spoke, and he said, let there be light, and light separated the light from the darkness. And suddenly, in this voidless, dark, watery place, God spoke, and in his creative power and his creative juices, he just speaks, and his word has so much power, amen. And in his word, he speaks, and he just says it. He doesn't reach down and make things with his hands in this point of the scripture, but he just speaks. He says, let there be light at the very beginning of time. He says, let there be light. And this is the first time that light is mentioned in the Bible. And he speaks light and life and existence into nothingness, from nothingness. Did you know that your light has a source this morning? Your light has a source this morning. You say, you know what, Pastor Evan? I'm really not an Old Testament person. I'm more of a New Testament person. The Old Testament is all silliness, and the New Testament is all goodness. And so I never read the Old Testament. I always read the New Testament. Okay. Turn with me in your Bibles to John chapter 1, verse 1. Okay? Now, what John is doing here in John chapter 1 is he's doing a play on words from Genesis chapter 1. And so actually, if you go and you read the different Gospels, you can see that each of them go back in time. One genealogy goes back so far. Another one goes back so far. But John, actually, he does a play on words from Genesis chapter 1. Okay? You guys with me? If you're with me, say amen. Your light has a source. Remember that. In John chapter 1, verse 1, it says this. It says, in the beginning. This sounds very similar to Genesis chapter 1, right? He said, in the beginning was the Word. Does your Bible have a capital W there? In the beginning was the Word. And in fact, if you go to John chapter 1, verse 14, it says, the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. Who is he talking about when he says the Word? Jesus, yes. In the beginning was the Word. And if there's any Jehovah Witnesses in the building this morning, you might get upset with this passage of Scripture because they do not believe that Jesus was there at the beginning, that Jesus is the Word, that Jesus is God. But it says this, in the beginning was the Word, And the Word was with God, and the Word was God. So it's pointing Jesus all the way back to the beginning. And he says, He was in the beginning with God, and all things were made through Him, and without Him nothing was made that was made. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not comprehend it. Let me read that one more time so that you can see the connection from Genesis chapter 1 to John chapter 1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through Him. What was made through Him? All things, yeah. And without Him, nothing was made that has been made. What has been made without Him? Nothing. Everything's been made through Him. In Him was life, and the life was the what? Was the light of all men. And the what? The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not comprehend it. You know, the beautiful thing is, again, we don't have to manufacture our own light. We don't have to go and find a cyber crystal. We don't have to go and figure out how to start a fire in the woods so that we have light that we can shine to other people. But our source of light, according to the Bible, is our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And maybe you're here this morning, and maybe you've been stumbling in darkness. Maybe you feel as if your life has been formless and void, and you feel as if there has been nothing there. You've been trying to manufacture your own light. You've been looking in the world for hope. And only Jesus can provide true hope, true life in the darkness. Only Jesus can provide direction in the darkness. And it means that, really, you can write this down, His light becomes your light when you walk with Him. Let me say that one more time for the notes. His light becomes your light when you walk with Him. Say it with me. His light becomes your light when you walk with Him. His light becomes your light when you walk with Him. Your light has a source. Your light has a source. You might be here this morning, you might say, oh, okay, that's great. I'm glad that my light has a source. I'm great. It's so fantastic that you pointed out in Scripture that the source of light comes from God, and that's connected to Jesus, and that's great. I guess I'll just have this light around, and I'll just, hang out with this light for a while and just walk around with this light. And I'm so thankful that my light has a source. I'm so thankful that my light's source is not a cyber crystal, but I'm thankful that my light, the source, is Jesus, and that Jesus is a light that shines on me. I'm the light of the world, you know, and thankful that His light shines on me, and then I shine on other people. But you know, that's great that it's a source, and I'm going to put that down in my book, and I'm going to jot it down, and I'm going to put it in my journal, and thanks, great message. I'm going to go home, take a nap, see you later. I got to get home to watch game 7 of... is it the Golden State Warriors are playing Houston tonight? I think game 7. Got to get home to watch that. And I also got to get home to watch the newest episode of Outdoor Boys on YouTube. They just dropped a new episode yesterday. So I'm so thankful that Jesus is my source, right? Sometimes we take the things, we're like, okay, that's great. I'm so thankful. Jesus is my source, you know? I'm so thankful that Jesus is my source. Like, that's great. I'm going to go. But I was listening to this guy talk the other day, and he was talking about how, man, when transformation happens, he said we first get it in our head. Can you guys point at your head? We first get it in our head, and then after it gets in our head, sometimes it just stays there. We're like, okay, that's great. That's head knowledge, wonderful knowledge. But he's like, really, you want it to go from your head to your heart, right? Like, you want to just know it, but you want to believe it. So from your head to your heart, can you guys point at your heart? From your head to your heart to your hands. Look at your hands. From your head to your heart to your hands. You know? It's great that Jesus is our source. Your light has a source. But listen, your light also has, you can write this down on your notes, your light has a purpose. Your light has a purpose. Your light has a source, and your light has a purpose. it's great to have a lightsaber, but if you take your lightsaber, if you're a Jedi, take out your lightsabers one more time, Sith, one more time. If you take out your lightsaber and you just set it up on the shelf and you use it as an ornament, you're really not using it for its intended purpose. You're supposed to go out, you're supposed to attack some people with it, you're supposed to provide balance to the Force, you're supposed to whatever. But listen, your light has a purpose. You can write this in your notes. Your light wasn't meant to be hidden under a basket. Your light wasn't meant to be hidden under a basket. It's not meant to be placed under things or to be concealed. Your light has a purpose. Did you know that your light has a purpose? You know, I'm thinking about maybe a little over a year ago when we cooked up a bunch of bacon. I think this might have been pre-Vernon, actually. I think Paul was there, though, and I think Truett was there. We cooked up, and Nate was there, and some other people were there, and Steve was there. Sorry, Steve. Steve was actually the one who cooked the bacon. By the way, if you guys ever need someone to make bacon, that's your man right there, okay? He makes it in the oven. He cooks it perfectly. It's crispy. It's not gooey. It's perfect. So if you ever have an event, I heard that he charges just a little bit, but it's totally worth it. He's the bacon man from here on out, the bacon man. And so we had this men's event at the Telegraph Cruise, and we decided that we were going to make bacon and give bacon out to people as they walked by. And we didn't realize that we were actually going to be kind of slow. We didn't have a ton of people that walked by. And so actually Nolan and I went out with bacon and gave bacon to people up and down Telegraph. And some people were like, oh, what's going on? Why are you trying to give me bacon? Oh, well, and other people were like, bacon? You guys got bacon? They're like, that's awesome. And they were super excited about us giving them bacon. And but it's interesting because I feel like what we were doing in our own way is we were shining our light. We were coming up to people that didn't know us from anywhere, and we were giving them bacon. I mean, if someone came up to you and gave you, cool, right? I think about when last year when we had our back-to-school lot party in the summer where we had all the people come through the doors, and there were some crazy people, undoubtedly. There were some kids. There were lots of families. And we did a bunch of haircuts and gave away a bunch of school supplies. Man, what we were doing in that moment is we were shining our light in a dark place. You know, you might be in a spot, you might work in a spot where there are people that are very different from you. You might be in a spot where maybe your coworkers are wild or crazy, or you might even be in a family where your family doesn't necessarily maybe know the Lord. And my mom, she actually got saved in InterVarsity when she was in college, and she found the Lord there, and then she met my dad, and one thing led to another, and they got married. But her family has never been Christians, and so she was ostracized. So for her, just going to family functions was a source of her shining her light in a dark area. You know what I'm talking about? And so I'm not sure where you go every day. I'm not sure who you communicate with, or I'm not sure your family situation or your work situation or whatever. But I want to remind you this morning that your light has a source, which is awesome. Our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And it's been there since the very beginning. And when you come into a relationship with him, he shines on you, and then you shine on others. Your light has a source, but your light also has a purpose. You know, you haven't been placed in a spot just to simply, you know, hide your light, or to conceal your light, or to be in the shadows. But God has called you to literally break apart the darkness with the light of him that's in you. Your light has a purpose. It's meant to shine in dark places, just like at the beginning of time. Don't hide your light. Don't dull your light to make others feel comfortable. Don't doubt your light because of maybe your past mistakes, but realize that your light comes from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Your light has a source, but also your light has a purpose. And finally, your light requires discipline. Your light requires discipline. God has not called us to be invisible in the darkness, but he has called us to be a city on a hill, a light that illuminates the darkness. Your light requires discipline. Final note, you cannot carry God's light casually or flippantly. Your light requires discipline. Requires discipline. A Jedi trains relentlessly. Your light requires discipline. And with your light comes responsibility. Again, we're not just meant to take our light and to hide it under a basket. But with our light comes responsibility, requires discipline. In Ephesians chapter 5, Paul, imprisoned for his faith, encouraging the church in Ephesus. Talk about it. Talk about discipline. Like if someone were to grab me and throw me in prison for proclaiming the gospel, you know, here's Paul, and he's in prison for proclaiming the gospel, and as he's in prison for proclaiming the gospel, he's proclaiming the gospel in prison. Isn't that crazy? And he's speaking to the church in Ephesus, and he's encouraging them in the Lord, and he's trying to give direction, and he's trying to be their pastor while he's in prison. And this is what he says in Ephesians chapter 5. He says, "For you were once darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. For the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness, righteousness, and truth, finding out what is acceptable to the Lord. And have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather expose them," exposing them by the light. "For it is shameful even to speak of those things that are done by them in secret. But all things that are exposed are made manifest by the light. For whatever makes manifest is light. Therefore," he says, "awake, you who sleep. Arise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you." It's interesting that he used the phrase, "Awake, O sleeper." Awake. Awake, O sleeper. Awake, you who sleep. Arise from the dead. Awake, you who are sleeping. Some of us have been sleeping. Some of us have been laying down and taking a nap. Man, there is a battle right now that's waging between good and evil. In Ephesians chapter 6, Paul, again speaking to the church, said, "Our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but it's against the spiritual forces of darkness in the heavenly places. Therefore, put on the full armor of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes." Earlier, he's like, listen, you guys need to awaken. Awaken yourselves. You have the light of Christ shining on you. You have the power of the Spirit in you. You have the glory of the Lord residing in you. You have been made in God's image. You have been made in his fashion. You have been made, you've been breathed into through the through the breath of God. Literally, God came down, formed man with his hands, and breathed the breath of life into his nostrils in the beginning of time. There's darkness that's all around us. Sometimes when it's dark, praise the Lord, it's nice to sleep, isn't it? Sometimes when it's dark and you're sitting there and the rain is hitting against the roof and you're just like, ah. Sometimes there's nothing better than taking a Pentecostal nap on a Sunday afternoon, right? Anyone with me? Praise the Lord. But there's a time to sleep and there's a time to awaken. Our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but it's against the spiritual forces of darkness in the heavenly places. So remember that your light has a source. Remember that your light has a purpose. And remember that your light requires discipline. That might mean waking up a little bit early and reading your Bible. That might mean praying for your family. That might mean stepping outside of your comfort zone and reaching out to your neighbor. That might mean delving into his word and wrestling with things that you're maybe not entirely sure of. Your light requires discipline. God, we just pray today that as we close up the service, that you'll pull us closer to you. God, I pray that you'll pull us closer to your presence, pull us closer to your heart. God, I feel as if there might be some people that are sleeping. God, awaken them and remind them of your promises. Remind them that you are the light of the world. Remind them that we are a city on a hill that should not be hidden. Remind them that the time for sleeping is over and the time to wake up is now. Remind them of your goodness. Remind them of the good news, of the message of the kingdom. God, I just pray this morning that you'll draw us closer to your heart. And that as you draw us closer to your heart, we begin to think, we begin to just see the world the way that you do, Father. In your holy name.